Now let's talk about a set of institutions known as the gold exchange standard. That means a system where most currencies are backed by either gold or one or two other major reserve currencies. It also usually refers to a very specific time period, namely 1926 to 1931. A striking feature of a gold exchange standard is that it generally involves a much smaller gold base, and you can think of a gold exchange standard as one attempt to economize on gold and to create some version of a gold standard when you don't quite have enough gold to enforce direct convertibility into gold in all of the member nations. Here's the historical context. You have a gold standard based on direct convertibility for most of Europe in much of the 19th century and up through 1913. That simply means that a currency can be converted directly into a certain amount of gold. That was the classical gold standard. That all changes in 1914 with the onset of the First World War. So governments all of a sudden need to fight this war, and what they want to do is inflate their currencies as a way of paying for the war, and that is going to break the classical gold standard. So what happens is the major European governments, one by one, they break the link to gold, and they move to a system of paper money to help pay for the war. Of course, the war ends in 1918, and the question then is, what will be the new monetary order for the global economic trading system? There's a certain amount of chaos in the early 1920s, but what we find happening throughout the 20s is European countries moving back in different ways toward a gold standard, and a key event here comes in 1925 when the United Kingdom restores convertibility of its currency into gold. A lot of European economies weren't wealthy enough or didn't have enough gold to do the same thing, and so this evolved into a version of the gold exchange standard, where most of the gold was held by the United States, which came out of the war quite wealthy, and the United Kingdom, and a lot of other currencies. Well, they were backed by the dollar or the pound, and at that time the dollar and the pound were the two major reserve currencies, and there was a kind of pyramiding system where gold played its major role, again, in the US and the UK. But it turned out this wasn't going to work so well. One of the main problems is simply that Great Britain restored parity, the British pound, to gold at too high a rate. That is, they overvalued how much the British pound was worth. Because of all that wartime inflation, pounds were now worth less. They weren't quite willing to admit this. So they restored convertibility where the pound was overvalued, and as we know from some of the other lectures, when you overvalue a currency, this places downward pressure on your price level, and this created some very significant problems for Great Britain because its currency was worth too much, its exports were too expensive on world markets, and they were importing deflationary pressures into their own economy. Arguably, the opposite problem occurred in France. So the French restored convertibility, the French franc, to gold, but they now revalued the French franc at too low a level. So what this meant was French exports were now especially cheap, and the French were able to haul in really quite a bit of gold, and gold ended up flowing to France. So overall, in this setup, we have gold flowing into France and also into the United States, which had monetary policies to attract gold through the sterilization of gold reserves. And basically, these two countries soaked up a lot of the gold in the global economy, and this led to deflationary pressures in a lot of other places. And you can think of the gold exchange standard, by having these improperly valued currencies, as creating a lot of sectoral imbalances in terms of the distribution of trade and the distribution of gold movements. So gold is flowing to the wrong places, and again, what this is meaning is a lot of deflationary pressures on the global economy, but in particular on the other European economies. In the 1920s, economically speaking, they're pretty volatile times. They're going to be a lead-up to the Great Depression of the 1930s, and it's really the deflation of the 20s that created a lot of the underlying problems in European economies and the global economy as well. Another way to put this is simply to note that some debtor countries, they lacked gold, and this was hurting their abilities both to pay back their debts and to counteract deflationary pressures. when you look at our lectures on the Eurozone, you'll find that the years of the gold exchange standard in the 1920s and the current Eurozone crisis, they actually have a fair amount in common. That is, in some parts of the world, you're seeing that movements of money and credit are creating too much stimulus, and in other parts of the world, they're creating too little, and the parts of the world with too little stimulus are in many cases exactly the parts of the world which are needing it most. So what then led the gold exchange standard to an end? Well, a key event here comes in 1931, and that's when the United Kingdom goes off gold and they break the link between the British pound and a certain amount of gold. And why did that happen? Well, think back to what we said originally, that in 1925, when the connection between the British pound and gold was restored, it was restored at a level where the pound was overvalued. So at some point, individuals were holding these British pounds and they thought, well, the government is saying this pound is worth more than it really is, and so they wanted to convert those pounds to gold. There was a speculative attack against the British pound, and see our video on speculative attacks. And ultimately, that speculative attack broke the link between the pound and gold, and that essentially ended the gold exchange standard, because one of the world's two main reserve currencies, the British pound, now no longer had this connection to gold. To pile on, come 1933, with the advent of the New Deal, Franklin Delano Roosevelt also takes the United States off of the gold standard, and at that point, by then, you had the two major currencies delinked from gold, and throughout the rest of the 1930s, what you see more and more is simply the links between currencies and gold, whether direct or indirect, they simply are falling apart. The gold exchange standard is a very important time in world history, and as mentioned, it does seem to hold some lessons for today. One way to investigate more, of course, you can use Google. There's also a very useful paper by Bordeaux and MacDonald available online. Barry Eichengreen has written a good deal about the gold standard and gold exchange standard, and there's also an excellent book, which was a bestseller a few years ago. It's called Lords of Finance. Those are all some good places to start.